draft declaration of rights of indigenous people from, it was, went on from 1995 to 2006. And then what it was supposed to happen, they're supposed to send it up to ECOSOC and then the General Assembly. However, in 2006, the Commission of Human Rights was eliminated. And then they created the Human Rights Council, was put in its place. So the working group on a draft declaration sent the declaration to the Human Rights Council. And then they adopted the declaration in June of 2006, where Canada and the United States voted against it. And then it went to the General Assembly, and they adopted the declaration in 2007. All right, so that's the path of the declaration through the UN system. The other square boxes are new bodies that were created, which was first. The Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues was created in 2000. Actually, its first meeting was in 2002. And that was, it's made up of 16 people. Half are appointed by states, and half are elected by states, and half are appointed by the president of ECOSOC, Economic and Social Council, nominated by indigenous peoples. So you have at least half of them of the 16 are going to be indigenous, and some states appoint indigenous people as their representatives too. So you get a majority of people on that body are indigenous, and they meet in. They meet in May this year, I think May 6th, I think the meeting starts for 2 weeks. Then the Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous People, right now his name is James Anaya, he's an Apache from Arizona, I think, and excellent Special Rapporteur, and he is an individual Special Rapporteur, he deals with human rights violations against Indigenous peoples, and in his country visits and stuff, and if it's, I'm not mistaken, he's visiting the United States right about now. Or the next couple of weeks, he's hit. Although he lives in the United States, he's making his first official visit to the United States. And next year, he'll be coming to Canada. Then the other one, Expert Mechanism on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. That's what replaced the Working Group on Indigenous Populations. And that started in 2008. And they do research and studies on the rights of Indigenous Peoples, and that's their mandate. And they get their direction from the Human Rights Council, and they report to the Human Rights Council. So these are the bodies that are specifically that deal with indigenous peoples in the UN. This is a picture of the Indigenous Caucus. This is in New York. We meet in the Church Center, and this is just a picture. The guy with the big back, he's an indigenous person from Brazil who happened to be there, and very colorful. And you'll see different people from different. There's Art Manuel, you'll see him facing you. He's from this area. And some members of the Permanent Forum are in the front. This picture was taken about 2 years ago, I think. Yeah, so that's the Indigenous Caucus is a very important part of our how we work. The Indigenous Caucus we meet before any important meeting that deals with us. We have a 2-day caucus, and to deal with it. I chair them. I coordinate the. I coordinate the caucuses in New York and in Geneva. So I organize the meeting room and interpreters, all that kind of stuff. But I don't chair them. Sometimes I'm elected to chair it, but generally I'm not. I just organize them. But they're critical. And I'll tell you another little tidbit. People are very, very impressed with the power and the effort of indigenous people to get the declaration, to get it through the United Nations, all that ladder that I showed you. That was the power of the solidarity of indigenous people to do that, and other movements in the United Nations are not organized as well as we are, believe it or not, and they were impressed with how indigenous people got that declaration through. So now other movements are copying the indigenous people and having caucuses and getting like that, and because they learned from what we're doing. And they're copying us and are working their way through. So I'll just put a little tidbit there. That's a part, I call it the International Indigenous Movement, so I have a pet name for the whole thing. Yeah, this is the General Assembly where the opening ceremonies of the Permanent Forum take place. Standing up there is Descahe. Not Descahe, Taradaho, excuse me. Taradaho, which is our very important chief in the Haudenosaunee. And he does the opening every year, and he's an Onondaga. And these are the opening ceremonies. That's the Maori delegation. After the Maoris announced that they're going to endorse the declaration. They needed one of their chants in the front of the room in the General Assembly. And then the Hawaiians stood up and responded. It was very, very interesting to see that the two, because the same language, all the Polynesian, you know, the Maoris and the people in Easter Island, the people of Hawaii, it's all the same language. That's just some dumb more, couple of Mohawks there. Let's just have them hanging around. That's taking some time. And a working group on a draft declaration at some time. I don't remember what year. You'll see my newspaper stacked up there, so it had to be while I owned my paper. All right. This is the boring part. Now we deal with text. Canada is always saying things like, this declaration is aspirational, that it has no value, it's not binding. Well, I'm here to argue against that. Yes, it's true that declarations are not binding, with the exception of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which is considered international common law and binding. But normally declarations are just aspirational documents. In that case, it's true. However, the reason why we have a Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples is because existing international norms, existing international law was not applied to Indigenous people. That we were ignored, we were left out. So when we put the Declaration together, all we were doing was just telling, we're just telling states that look, you have existing obligations and this is how to apply it to Indigenous people. First, the preamble here in the Declaration. Purpose and principle of the Charter of the United Nations and good faith fulfillment of the obligations assumed by states in accordance with the Charter. The Charter of the United States says, we the people of the United Nations determined to reaffirm faith in fundamental human rights, dignity and worth of human person, equal rights of men and women and nations of large and small. The text is slightly different, but the meaning is the same. Canada is obligated to recognize the declaration because it's the rights are the same as in the Charter, and the Charter is binding. The covenant, these are the preamble again. The covenant, considering the covenant on civil and political rights is binding, Canada signed onto the covenant. So this is a binding right. According to the principles proclaimed in the Charter, it recognizes the inherent dignity and equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family as a foundation for freedom. The declaration says, are equal to all other peoples, while recognizing the right of all peoples to be different, to consider themselves to be different, and to be respected as such. Further, that all doctrines and policies and practices based on advocate superiority of peoples or individuals on the basis of national origin, blah, 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 are racist, scientifically false, legally invalid, morally condemnable, and socially unjust. These are the same rights. All right, that are on the covenant, which is binding, and the declaration. Covenant on political rights. Article 1, all peoples have a right to self-determination. Article 3, indigenous peoples have the right to self-determination. And by virtue of that, all right, they freely determine their political status, they freely pursue their economic, social, and cultural development. It's the same wording. This is binding on Canada. Canada signed the covenant. This is the binding in the declaration. There's no difference. So that's what's binding. The declaration points to binding law that Canada is supposed to follow. The preamble also says that permanent Indigenous people are equal to all other peoples. To me, this is fundamental to the entire declaration. Indigenous peoples are equal to all other peoples. That is, without that, anything less than that is racism. If Canada, United States, or anybody else wants to say that indigenous people are not equal to other peoples, not equal to them, it's racist and discriminatory, and it's fundamental. And that is, to me, the principal argument, and the principle of why, the other things like doctrine of discovery and all those other things are applied to us. Because it's a violation of this. The Article 1 is also the same in the Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights. It's the same article. Article 1 is the same. That's binding to Canada. So Canada can't deny us our right to self-determination because it's binding in other instruments. Article 2 of the Declaration are free and equal in all other peoples. CCPR is the same thing, present. All individuals within this territory are subject to jurisdiction rights without distinction of any conscience as race, color, sex, language, et cetera, et cetera. It's the same kind of right that, that's being described in each. The covenant's binding to Canada, and Canada's saying this is aspirational. It's ludicrous to say that this is aspirational and not binding, because it is binding in other instruments. I have a whole list of these things. Article 3, to ensure all persons whose rights and freedoms are being recognized in violation of effective remedy, and not with any violation being committed, etc. Article 4 of the Declaration, this is people have a right to access to prompt decisions to adjust and fair procedures for resolution of conflicts and disputes. Obviously, that doesn't happen. When you look at all the disputes and things that were not, that are not happening, that we can't get justice in a domestic situation. And we're trying to get justice, and it's very, very difficult. You can't say that this is, has to be an aspiration. This has to be an effective right that has to be that has to be applied and given to, or at least applied to indigenous people, just as it is in the covenant. You know, the same. That's a binding law, and this points to that law. The covenant. Nobody should perform an act aimed at the destruction of any rights and freedoms recognized therein. In the Declaration, people have a right to maintain and strengthen their distinct political, while retaining the right to participate fully, if they so choose, in the political, economic, social, and cultural life of the state. These two are similar. They're talking about the same rights. You know, one is binding, and Canada's the other is aspirational. I'm saying that the rights that are in Article 5 in the Declaration are binding. Just because it says a declaration doesn't mean it's not. I'm just trying to link these two together. Running out of time here.
Go ahead, next.
I'm just going to go over these. International borders. We're talking about Mohawks and talking about others that are on both sides of the border. You know, this is a big issue. You know, do we have a right to cross, to have relations across the border and stuff like that? And you look at Article 5, Article 12 of the covenant. Within a territory shell, within that territory, had the right to liberty, movement, freedom to choose its residence. Also has to do with identity. You know, to leave a country, including its own. That's a good passport issue. Yeah. To defend your passport. Next, sure. You guys can do the rest. You know, but that's the whole. You know, I can go on and on and on and on. I think I'll end it there. Because it gives you half an hour to ask questions.
Yay. All right,
thank you.